Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Russian President Vladimir Putin has apologized for the deadly crash of an Azerbaijani Airlines jet that was trying to land at an airport in Kazakhstan, but Putin stopping short of explicitly saying Russia was responsible for the crash. More from ABC's Ines de la Caterra.
We are now hearing from U.S. officials, from a high-level Azeri government source, that it was the Russians that would have fired an anti-aircraft system, or at least that the evidence is pointing towards that possibility. But again, still waiting for official confirmation there. They're going to wait until the investigation is complete and until those black boxes are deciphered.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has ordered 14 correctional officers to be fired after an inmate was beaten to death at a correctional facility near Syracuse. The state attorney general is investigating. The Centers for Disease Control says the risk to the public remains low after the potential finding of a new mutation of bird flu in a patient recently hospitalized in Louisiana. This is ABC News. Two Canadian ministers met with President-elect Trump's team in Florida Friday to discuss border security and avoid tariffs. Despite previous talks involving Prime Minister Trudeau, they returned home without assurances. A potentially troubling new development with the bird flu, the CDC reporting that the virus mutated inside a severely ill patient in the U.S., which could make the disease easier to spread. No transmissions to other people have been reported, and the CDC says the risk to the public remains low. When things go right, they sometimes go wrong.
In these social media days, we're often urged to seek out public places for transactions when we've never met the individual buying or selling, or meeting someone socially for the first time. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, outside Milwaukee, a man selling watches met two prospective buyers in the parking lot of the police station. He let them try on the watches. After chatting for a few minutes, the two men ran off to a waiting getaway car, last seen on surveillance video, speeding off into the night. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. As we head into the new year, both shoppers and businesses are bracing for potential tariffs. Judith Ruiz Branch talks with a Wisconsin small business owner who says there couldn't be a worse time.
Eau Claire Outdoors is a shop that sells gear for camping and backwoods experiences. Owner Kate Felton says she carries products manufactured both in the U.S. and elsewhere.
The Trump tariffs really couldn't come at a worse time for small businesses. Certainly there's no good time for this to come, but this moment in particular is just a very dangerous moment for prices to increase on small businesses.
Eau Claire small businesses saw record low sales this past year, she adds, including the lowest turnout for Small Business Saturday in over a decade. President-elect Donald Trump has promised to impose a new slate of tariffs as soon as he enters office in January. Tariffs, or taxes on imports, are paid by businesses purchasing goods from other countries. Economists say tariffs are typically passed on to consumers of anything the U.S. imports, from electronics and home goods to gas. Economics Department Chair Thomas Kemp at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire says he suspects a significant number of businesses in the state would feel the effects.
Let's say a small Wisconsin business is dependent upon a Chinese supplier for, say, machinery and equipment, that's going to impact them significantly. Or if they're a retailer that sells primarily goods and services made in China, they're going to be impacted by this.
In 2022, Wisconsin imports totaled $41 billion, the highest level recorded in state history, according to Wisconsin Economic Development. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog and drizzle possible today, a high near 42. Southwest winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 33. Clouds and 40 for Sunday, sun and 40 on Monday, 36 with snow Tuesday.
Right now, it's 44.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey there, political orphans, swing voters, independents, that whole gang. Welcome to special edition of Lost in the Middle. We're going to do a countdown between the middle of September and work our way up till Election Day. And we've sort of switched out the format. This won't be storytelling the way we do things. But instead, what I'm doing is talking to some of the smartest political podcast hosts in the country. But before we go there, I want to tell you a quick story. When I left Congress, it was sort of running up to the 2000 election. And I got a call from a good friend of mine named Brady Williamson. And Brady said, I've got an idea for you. What's that? He said, let's try to get a political debate in Madison because it would be interesting in the 2000 election. And Brady had worked for the Clintons for years and was a Democratic operative. And I said, let's rock and roll. So we reached out to what was then called the Political Debate Commission, which everybody thought was an official arm of the federal government. But instead, it was just a cozy room between a longstanding Republican and a longstanding Democratic operative who figured out a way to make money on this. And the deal was you had to raise $500,000 because the presidential debate is a television operation. And so the first thing we had to do was raise, I don't know, I think it was $200,000 to show that we were serious, which actually was much easier than we thought it would be. We had a couple of large Madison businesses step forward and then some foundations locally. And then we're ready to rock and roll. And then outcome the folks who actually scout the presidential debate. And so we wandered around Madison looking for venues. And so the whole Madison community was geeked about the idea. And then they wanted to show off the new Madison Civic Center, which had been designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And they walked in the room and we probably spent maybe 3.5 minutes in it, because if you've ever seen anything designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, it may be brilliant, but it's weird. And every section we looked, there was a column or a weird thing. Walked out of that. Then went to the old Oscar Mayer Theater. Yes, Madison was the home of Oscar Mayer Wieners and the Wienermobile. And they liked that a lot, but it was a really cool old building and would have great angles to look down on the audience and look very ornate and very rich. And then it turned out by the time they built out the stage downstairs, there'd be no time for sitting. So that went out the window. And so we ended up with the Madison Expo Center, which was just basically a big box. So it was a weird year because the Olympics were that fall and the World Series was really late. And so they decided at the end of the day, they're going to have to do all of the four debates, three presidential and one vice presidential, in a very compressed time frame. So we're sitting around like the NFL draft waiting for the phone to ring. And they pick up the phone and say, Brady, Scott, we've got some great news for you. Okay, we want you to host the vice presidential debate. It's like, who the hell watches the vice presidential debate, much less trying to raise $500,000 to stage it? And as we're looking through sort of depressed glasses at one another, they say, here's the date. And they pick a weekend in October in a great Wisconsin story that's not a punchline. It was the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. We were off the hook. You could not find a hotel room because people with trailers and pickup trucks were driving their prize Holsteins to Dane County, Wisconsin to show them off. So our prize for doing that was actually we got tickets to go to the presidential debate in Boston. Al Gore and George Bush. The highlight of the night for me personally was that Christie Brinkley sat in front of me with purple, sort of eggplant-colored leather pants. And let's just say it was not a particularly good look. But the defining moment of the debate was Al Gore doing this every time George Bush started to answer a question. And it's literally graded by historians as one of the 10 worst debate moments in U.S. presidential history. So we never ended up with the debate here, but we just all watched the debate. And I want to turn around to my guest, Andrew Heaton, who's actually calling us in from Scotland, from a phone booth in a men's businessman club, I take it is, Andrew?
I'm at the Royal Scots Club, which is just a nice, stuffy club that has allowed me to become a member. I like to work out of here, and being a humble boy from Oklahoma, I find it endlessly funny to talk to old British men in three-piece suits. So I come to Scotland to avoid the Texan weather for about a month a year, and then I work out of here.
Well, you can tell by the early introduction. So Andrew actually hosts a podcast much aligned with us called The Political Orphanage. So that means my political orphans actually live in his political orphanage when they turn into his podcast, which is terrific. Mm-hmm. He's been a stand-up comedian. He's performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He's written a bunch of books, including one that's called Laughter is Better Than Communism. And he actually opened up for William Shatner, who said, wow, that Andrew guy, he's pretty funny. But the cool thing is, most people won't know this, and I actually know this because my youngest son spent some time in comedy, is you performed with Upright Citizens Brigade in L.A., which is sort of the West Coast version of Second City, who don't know it. So,
yeah, it was New York, but yes, the UCB, it had outposts on both coasts, and I got improvisational training from the good people at UCB. I have a certificate saying I'm funny. I have it on my wall. UCB is a fish. I'm licensed to be funny by UCB.
That's terrific. And then worked on the Hill for Tim Holden, who's an old buddy of mine, who was a Democrat from Pittsburgh. We used to play in the congressional baseball game together. And Tim actually had one of the worst moments I've ever seen because he and Bill Jefferson, another Democrat from Louisiana, who later on got sentenced to prison for racketeering, but that's an entirely different story. Tim was at first base. Bill was at catcher. Somebody popped up in the middle of the first base and home plate, and they collided head on. And Steve Largent was playing with us, former NFL football player, who said that was the ugliest collision I've ever seen, worse than anything I'd ever seen in the NFL. And they both, Tim got gashes, Jefferson got teeth knocked out, everything in the world. So now that I've completely wasted everybody's time for 8 or 9 minutes with a story that went nowhere, let's talk about your impressions of the debate. Does it really matter? Did it really change anybody's mind?
Yes, I think they do. So I was very skeptical of the debates up until about 3 months ago. I'm one of these people that is angry at the what had been the Presidential Commission on Debates, because it seemed to me that they were intentionally icing out any third party candidates that would come in, and I was ruffled about that. I was angry that Gary Johnson had approached whatever metric they needed, and then they immediately put it up to 10% in order to ice him out, and was taking the rather cynical view of like, look, everyone in America has made up their mind about Biden and Trump. This is, you know, before Biden dropped out. No one needs any additional information. It's not as if Trump is some sort of coy, opaque figure that we don't know a lot about. And I have changed my tune on that completely. I watched the debate between Biden and Trump, and I had been likewise kind of skeptical about the whole Biden mental acuity thing, because that sounded to me like kind of a made up Republican talking point. And then I, like much of the rest of the country, watched the president's brains drain out of his ears like motor oil and went, this apparently they were right about this. We have been gaslit, America. So I thought that the debate did a really good public service at that point. The most recent, so for that reason, I think the debates are good, just because they do allow you to see if somebody's truly crazy or not. I don't think that they're particularly salient for policy discussions, and the latest debate was not salient for policy discussions, but I think that they could be useful in that regard. In terms of pushing people to vote in a particular direction, yes. My understanding is that last-minute voters tend to be disproportionately affected by the personalities they see on display at the debates and by bombardments of advertising that get them the last couple of weeks. So for most people that are plugged into politics, and I would imagine that that's the bulk of your audience, they probably have their own internal compass that they're using and some kind of metric they're using to make decisions in terms of who they're going to vote for that involves ideology and policy goals and character or something to that effect, right? I think there is a group of people, and they're ultimately who's going to determine this election, which are not nearly that attuned to politics. And so for them, they're running a lot of this off of gut feelings and vibes. And in that capacity, I think it's going to really benefit Kamala Harris, because my personal suspicion is I'm telling all the Scots while I'm here, I'm putting it 60-40 on Kamala Trump. I think she's going to take it. It's going to be razor thin, but I think that she's probably going to take it. And my rationale for this is that I think the last minute voters, they're not reliably Republican or Democrat, are going to basically go, I don't know, I associate Trump with old screamy guys. I don't like that. Let's give this new lady a try. She seems sane. And Kamala did a good job of appearing sane and reasonably normal for the course of the debate. And so I think that that vibe will work to her advantage.
So who's left that hasn't made up their mind?
I think it is the swing, like the truly swing voters, right? So like I'm an independent, and I'm a big critic of the two-party system, and I will kind of join people in breathlessly talking about how wonderful it is that independents are gaining traction and they're now the largest voting bloc. They're larger than Republicans or Democrats. But when you really look at it, the majority of independents, probably about 80%, are reliably Republican or Democratic voters, but they just really don't like the party. And so it's almost like a protest that they're registering as an independent, but they're going to vote Republican or Democrat. That leaves about 20%. And half of those people, I think, are like me, where we are very plugged in, but we have our own aberrant, weird Rorschach test that we're applying to American politics, which means we're not permanently in the pocket of either camp. But I think that there's another group of people that for them, they're living their lives and they're thinking about work and thinking about their kids. And they're not really thinking about politics. And so they're a lot more affected by how they would judge a used car salesman, which is like, does this person seem honest? Does this person seem like they're going to be the person who's going to sell me the right car? Are they going to swindle me? Can they get things done? Are they going to be a good boss? They're going with personality attributes to a great extent. And I think those are the kind of swing voters that will be swayed by the debate.
I think for folks who are political junkies, it's hard to understand. I mean, I keep running into people who say there can't be any undecided voters. They can't be, but there are. And I think people have a hard time comprehending that. And, you know, the interesting thing is if you talk to political consultants, I mean, I spent a bunch of time arguing with Mike Murphy over this idea, whether they're independents or really they're just closet Republicans or closet Democrats. If you talk to the folks at Arizona State and Tom Riley, who runs the only political science department in the country, which has a specific study of independent voters, he'll tell you there are a significant chunk. And if you look, you can see it for yourself. If you look at the vote totals in 2012, they went dramatically for Obama. Then they turned around and shifted to Trump. And then in 20, they shifted around and voted for Clinton. So I do think there's a group that is permanently disengaged with either of the major political parties. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Andrew, I want to talk to you about why I think your analysis is wrong in the debate, because I want to tell you the two issues that I think are trouble for Harris.
Great.
This podcast is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that protects property owners and their interests. Did you know that in 10 states and Washington, D.C., the government can take more than what it is owed in property taxes in the instance of a foreclosure? From 2014 to 2021, 8,600 homes and more than $780 million in savings were lost to this practice, known as home equity theft. We are working to end home equity theft everywhere it remains on the books. Visit PropertyOwnersAlliance.org to join the effort to protect property rights.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Dr. Susan Webb Yackey, what advice would you give everyone who has an opportunity to engage in conversation with folks and sometimes we don't think alike?
One state of mind is to be curious about it. How did you come to that point of view? And the other is humility. This idea that we don't have all the answers.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Well, welcome back, and we're just beginning our conversation with Andrew Heaton, who's a great political podcast host on a podcast called The Political Orphanage. He's done a lot of comedy work. He's written a whole bunch, and he and I think share a lot of sort of similar framing of how we think this election goes. So if
I'll even add to that, Scott, you were kind enough to come on my program, The Political Orphanage, and you think so similar to me that it kind of freaked me out. And at one point I began postulating that you might be me from the future who'd come back to talk to me in the past. It was very unnerving.
Well, we can probably sell that as a pilot to CBS or somebody.
Yeah, I like that. Time traveling pundits. Yeah.
So there's, sort of two framing things you have to do in elections. Well, there's actually three. I mean, if you and I are running against each other, I have to define you. Right. And then I have to define who I am. And then the third thing is you have to figure out what issues you're running on. And sometimes that's good for you and sometimes it's bad for you. And I think the problem for Harris is going to be as we get closer to those undecided voters, it's people who weren't thrilled with what the economies look like the last 4 years. And I think I'm not a fan of the former president, as anybody who listens to this show knows. But I just think at the end of the day, it's people who are still worried about the cost of gas, the cost of bread, about taking their kids to McDonald's, about canceling a summer vacation. I think those folks are going to look and say, well, Trump's really a strange guy, but it was better than he was president.
That could be the case. I mean, I think one of the other things that Kamala is doing that is a strategic decision that may or may not benefit her is she's intentionally trying to remain a kind of Schrodinger's candidate, where when she ran in 2020, as Trump has pointed out multiple times, she ran as a very progressive candidate and then flamed out before Iowa. Whereas now she has tacked much more to the center and is emphatically in favor of fracking and all of the things that more centrist Democrats would favor. When I was at the Democratic National Convention last month, it was lots of really good vibes. Everybody was really happy. The AOC wing of the party was really happy with her. They were thrilled with Tim Walz. The Obama free trade wing of the party liked her. Everybody liked her. And so she had a kind of internal rationale not to cease being a quantum candidate and really define herself because she'd alienate one wing or the other. And she's kind of started doing that because she's released some policy papers, so you can now actually get a feel for what she's allegedly going to do. But I think she's kind of playing that same card at the general election. And I do think it'll help in terms of the people that are just going off of vibes because they're just going to see a fresh face and go, I don't know, let's try a new one. In terms of the economy, you might have a point there. The polls indicate that people associate Trump with a better economy. I have a lot of qualms with that in that I am very much in favor of free trade and think tariffs are stupid. So I have a lot of problems with his economic model. But that seems to be earned or unearned the benefit that he gets. He gets like a +5 in economy.
Yeah, which is interesting. And then the other issue, which isn't hot for her either, is immigration. And so that's why I think she did a marvelous job in the debate making the case for the case against the Republicans on abortion, which I thought was really the high moment of the campaign. And now let's talk about the low moment of the campaign. People eating pets and casseroles in Ohio, which seems, you know, I appreciate the fact that CBS fact checked it, but did you really need to fact check that?
That, all right, there's two ways we can look at American politics going forward. We can either be very sad or we can find it very funny. I've decided to find it very funny. I have decided to treat this more like a sitcom than a Black Mirror episode. And looking at it with the sitcom analysis, I thought that whole moment was very funny because the precipitating moment to that was Kamala obviously baiting Donald Trump in a way that you could see from a million miles away, where I don't remember what the actual thing they were discussing was. Probably it wasn't the border. It was something else, the economy. I don't know. And she went, I invite people to watch a Trump rally. Because what you will find is that people leave early because they find it boring and exhausting. And I saw that and I was like, there's no, like any other political candidate would go, well, that's just, you know, like that's not really pertinent to what we're discussing here. But Trump could not, like, in a million years, Trump cannot let that go. So he immediately had to come back with, like, our rallies are amazing. And then after that, he was so addled, that's when he stepped into the they're eating cats line. And yes, I think the weird analysis that I have been seeing of the debate is where a lot of the pro-Trump people are saying, you know, the moderators were fact-checking Trump much harder than Kamala Harris. And I'm like, yes, I agree on that. However, the whole they shouldn't have fact-checked him as hard on immigrants are eating cats line, to me, is just not a really good strategy. I was saying, like, if only they hadn't fact-checked him on that, he'd be doing okay. I don't think so.
But the flip side of that, and I thought CBS really, or excuse me, ABC did a pretty good job and tried to balance it. And I think the mics being muted, while it didn't make for as much street theater, at least you got to hear what people were saying rather than, it's my turn to talk. But I was troubled by the fact they asked one question about her policy flips. She answered it on fracking without pushing her, and then they never went back to the other stuff, which I thought let her off far too easy. And that bothers me. I mean, I generally, as somebody who spent 14 years in journalism, still spend lots of time on the journalism board at Northwestern University, I find a lot of the coverage, unfortunately, skewed. Do you agree with me on that?
Wholeheartedly, yes. I know you played board games when you were in high school, Scott. Did you ever play Dungeons and Dragons by chance?
I wasn't that weird. I played Risk and games in a couple
of times. Nice. I was a big Risk guy. In D&D, you've got character attributes, and you'll roll your character attributes of how strong you are and how smart you are. And in American politics, Republicans just kind of get a +5 automatically on the economy, and they get a +5 on defense. And Democrats just get like a +10 on integrity from the media. Like they just, you by virtue of being a Democrat, you automatically get kind of a soft glove there. I didn't think that the moderators were in the can for Kamala, but I agree. I think generally speaking that the people that are running those debates are probably trying to be even-handed, but they're personally very invested in Trump losing. And as a result, they're overzealous in fact-checking him. And I think that goes back to, like, Romney and Obama. I don't disagree with that. I think that the media scrutiny is a lot harder. It's arguably one of the benefits of Trump, because I'm also not a Trump guy, but one of the benefits of Trump is that I think he actually compels journalists to do their job. When Biden, like, I as a, like, turn-your-head-and-squint-level journalist, like, I could technically be a journalist depending on how you're looking at me. I view myself as in a positive adversarial relationship with politicians, the same way that a prosecutor is in a positive adversarial relationship with a defense attorney. There's an emergent order that comes out of the system by virtue of both parties squaring off against each other. So I don't want to take the position of just liking people in power from one side and disliking the other. I think we should always be putting pressure on them. And when Biden won the last election, the fact checker for CNN just went on vacation. And I looked at that and was like, but this is the exact time that you should be fact checking the incoming guy when he's like, this is the time to really. But the attitude was the threat is over. The threat is over. we can all go home now. And yes, I think that that becomes a big problem with legacy media.
Well, and I think there's a big problem with legacy media, too, in terms of diversity, right? You saw the big kerfuffle when one of the NPR editors quit because when he did a check of where his fellow reporters were registered, you can do that at the political rolls in Virginia and Washington and Maryland because it's all a public record. There were no Republicans. It was 93-0. And famously, you know, the in the study that was done by Nate Silver, it was only 6% of journalists self-identified as Republicans. So not that they're making things up, but it would help if they had a little different perspective and didn't think the world would be solved by five more government programs.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Russian President Vladimir Putin has apologized for the deadly crash of an Azerbaijani Airlines jet that was trying to land at an airport in Kazakhstan, but Putin stopping short of explicitly saying Russia was responsible for the crash. More from ABC's Ines de la Quintera.
We are now hearing from U.S. officials, from a high-level Azeri government source, that it was the Russians that would have fired an anti-aircraft system, or at least that the evidence is pointing towards that possibility. But again, still waiting for official confirmation there. They're going to wait until the investigation is complete and until those black boxes are deciphered.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has ordered 14 correctional officers to be fired after an inmate was beaten to death at a correctional facility near Syracuse. The state attorney general is investigating. The Centers for Disease Control says the risk to the public remains low after the potential finding of a new mutation of bird flu in a patient recently hospitalized in Louisiana. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks take on the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Chicago tonight to battle the Bulls. Milwaukee coming off that loss at home Thursday to the Brooklyn Nets. NFL, the Packers play the Vikings tomorrow afternoon at U.S. Bank Stadium. Kickoff at 3:25. Packers quarterback Jordan Love talked about the addition of Josh Jacobs at running back and how the former Raider made it clear he came to Green Bay to get to the playoffs.
I mean, me and Josh had conversations when he first got here. And, you know, his main message was he wanted to come play for a team that was going to have a chance to, you know, do something special and obviously have a shot in the postseason and go win it all. It means a lot to him to have the opportunity and to play in these meaningful games.
Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold has led the team to a 13-2 season so far.
Yeah, obviously you got the Pack coming in, a great opponent, really good defense, great scheme. They fly around, got really good players, pretty much good everywhere. You know, good on the back end, good linebackers, good defensive line. So we're excited for the challenge and we'll be ready to roll.
That's Sam Darnold with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog and drizzle possible today, a high near 42. Southwest winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 33. Clouds and 40 for Sunday. Sun and 40 on Monday. 36 with snow Tuesday.
Currently, 46 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you're just tuning into Civic Media, my name's Charlie Behrens. This is the Cripes Cast, and I hope you enjoy it. This year we had Milwaukee Brewers left fielder, future Hall of Famer, Christian Yelich from episode 197. Here it is.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever signed?
A Hooter?
Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that's happened before. A baby.
You like signed a baby?
Like, actual skin?
My baby. No, I didn't want to do it on that. I was like, it was like the shirt. I was like, I'll sign like the back of the shirt or something like that.
But oh, that's good.
I was a little uncomfortable with that one. I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to do that.
How old was the baby?
Like, very young. Very.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
Very. Just came out, kind of.
Huh? Yeah. I was like,
Wow.
So I don't know if I don't know if I'm comfortable.
That is a weird one, man.
They insisted on it. So I was like,
yeah.
All right. And right on the.
They're just at the stadium holding them over the deal.
Turned around. Just right on the back.
Right on the back.
Back of the shirt. But
yeah. Back of the shirt. Yeah, that's good. Because there might be a blowout later in the game.
Yeah.
And then back of the shirt. Signature's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's weird, but it's like it's just like unique. Like, it's a little sign of baby.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is unique. What else? Anything else weird?
I'm sure I can't think of, I mean, you name it. You've probably signed it at this point.
Signed boobs.
I feel like that's happened once or twice, but
have you signed a man boob?
I feel like most things. Yeah. I've had someone get it, like had signed somebody's like arm or something. They get it tattooed. Like,
oh, wow.
All kinds of things, which, you know, cool. Yeah.
Have you ever signed a man boob? When you signed the man boob, was it a shaved chest or were you off-roading with the pen?
I don't know. I don't know if I was like locked into it as much of like, let's just get this done.
Eyes closed.
Let's just get this done.
I would do a little signature and then a circle around the nipple.
Yeah. Have you? What's the weirdest thing you've signed?
I have signed pectorals on mostly males, believe it or not. I've signed a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
Most of them are men's boobs.
All right.
And, I've signed a prosthetic leg. Actually.
I think I've done that too.
That's a good one.
I think I've done that. Casts, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice one. Remember when I threw out the first pitch?
Yeah.
And you caught it?
Yeah. You bounced it.
Dude, I did not.
You didn't bounce it.
Why would you do that? Now you said it. Now
you yanked it. But we got it in the air. We did get it.
Okay.
In the air.
Let me just say this. Yeah. Thank you for catching. Because had you not been, I would have bounced it. You caught it right before.
Yeah, we saved it. I told you we'd be in good hands.
I did yank it though.
Good hands.
Yeah.
But if you're not on the mound, if like you haven't really thrown off, people don't account for that when they're throwing out the first pitch. That's why people will yank it or sail it or spike it straight in the ground. Is because when you're on that slope, people that have never done it, they don't realize like how it kind of changes things when you're on the slope. You know, like flat ground, like just throwing a ball is different than when you're like on the mound, and then you have like that drop in the slope, and then that's where people end up pulling it or spiking it straight into the ground. So you did pretty good.
Thank you.
So that's probably why you pulled it. Is honestly because of the slope. But other than that, it was probably dead on if we were flat.
Okay, so in terms of embarrassment, though, like let's rank it. Okay,
that's perfect.
So if you yank it or you pull it, it's okay. If you sail it, not as great. But if you put it in the dirt, it's the worst. Is that fair?
You want to put it in the dirt?
Yeah.
But you did a good job. Like if the ball is caught, good first pitch. You know, like if it's catchable, you're fine.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was catchable technically, but I had a great catcher. Here's part of my conversation with my Grandma Sue, Aunt Mary, and Grandma Sue's friend Lois from episode 204.
So you haven't been on the dating apps, Mary? You're not on the dating apps?
Not on Catholic Match. Well, I am. I have a lot of people looking at my profile, but they're usually like 70, 75 years old.
Well, how old is too old at this
How old
point?
Are you, Mary? Well, my profile says 49 to 50.
You know what?
So 70, 75 is too high.
You really said 49 to 50?
I did.
Well, they
and she's 66. I am not 66, Sue.
How old are you? You just had a birthday.
Yeah, 66. I told you, 49. She's 66. Willing to go up to 55.
Mary, listen. We have a lot of dedicated listeners to the Cripes Cast.
Yeah,
I bet
right.
you out there, maybe there's someone who's seeking a gal like you, so let's build your dating profile. Her name is Mary Cerny.
Charlie, stop!
66 years
stop,
old.
Stop, I'm not 66.
Just listen.
Be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't start out with a lie.
Don't start out with a lie.
Yeah.
Is right.
Not on the right foot. Now, Lois and Grandma Sue, I want to explain to you how these dating apps work. They ask you a bunch of questions, assuming you guys aren't already on them yourselves.
Not me.
They ask you a bunch of questions to kind of let people get a sense of who you are. So
yes.
What questions do you think Mary should answer so a fella out there can get a sense of who she is?
Charlie,
Grandma,
stop!
Grandma, first question for Aunt Mary. What do you think a fella would want to know about her?
Oh, my God.
I think her interests.
Mary, what are your interests?
Charlie, stop.
Mary?
No, that would be the first thing they would want to know.
I know this. Yes. Sex is not one of them.
Okay. How do you know that sex is not one of her interests? That's a good question.
Oh, my gosh.
Mary, what are you doing back there? Why do you have your phone up?
Save me. I tell it like it is.
Why are you so far down there, Mary?
Because I'm dying. Stop.
All right, Mary, what are your interests?
I'm not telling you.
Mary.
Stop with the dating crap,
Charlie. Okay, Mary, I'm just asking for my own interests. Just a nephew trying to get to know his aunt a little bit more. What are your interests? What do you like doing?
Oh, another one is animals. She loves animals.
That's an interest.
Animals.
Mary That's loves right. animals. Mary, what is your favorite animal? And please don't say Reagan. All right.
He's my baby.
We'll start with Reagan. Mary, I think it's important for this dating app that the fellas know that you do come with a dependent, a very dependent. His name is Reagan. How old is Reagan, Mary?
He's 15.
15 years old. He is, and how old is that in dog years?
10, 7.
So 7 times 5, that's 35.
30.
So 5, carry the 3, 7. He's 105 years old in dog years.
Charlie.
What?
Leave.
I think he's ready to kick the bucket.
No, he's not.
No, he acts like a puppy.
These
really
dogs can live till they're 25.
Really?
Shut
yes.
What kind?
No, I'm not kidding.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a little dog.
Well, what?
He's a mini Shih Tzu. Mini Shih Tzu. In 0.9 okay. miles, Charlie, take a left on East State.
I always knew he was a little All right, so Mary, you have...
You know, Charlie, when he was laying on the floor and we thought he was dying, you looked at him and you shook your head and you said, you know...
Is it left right here, Mary?
Yeah, 0.6 on East State Street.
No,
it's not State.
Charlie, you had...
Next stop sign.
Cordella. Next stop sign, turn left on East State.
All right.
He's got 0.4 miles.
He's got it on his, I think.
See, fellas, Mary makes a great passenger princess. You know? She's not telling you how to drive.
Charlie.
She's not backseat driving. Dude, Mary, don't.
Mary!
Do not distract the driver.
I have. You want him to quit? Mary, stop it.
I'll bite your...
Mary, stop it.
Stop it. All right.
Charlie, when we thought my dog was dying,
yes. You
came into the living room and yes. You looked down at him.
Yep.
And all you said was, doesn't look good.
That's not all
there
I
said. There wasn't any empathy.
Well, no, that's not true. Rufus and I started taking bets for how long he was going to live. And I lost. I took an hour, Rufus took 5 hours, and that damn dog's still alive. All right, well, we got pulled over, folks.
What the hell? You weren't speeding, were you?
No.
Maybe he knows Charlie.
Oh.
It's her fault. It's her fault.
Yeah, you say you didn't expire registration on the vehicle.
I knew it! I knew it!
What?
You got an expired registration. Who didn't do it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's expired. It's of last year.
What? License plate?
Yep.
Oh, I guess the new sticker fell off.
Gosh, are you trying to bribe me here? What's going on with the money?
You got money out?
No, but
that
I
was for Culver's, allegedly.
Yeah, this is for...
No, we won't be able
Grandma,
to
stop trying to bribe him.
No, but I didn't put the sticker on.
That works in
Wapan.
It don't work in Portage.
No, you have a 23 sticker on. It's not 24 on.
I put the new sticker on, but it must have fell off or something.
Well, even when you run the plate, it still comes back as fire.
23?
Yep.
Oh,
she
dear.
Did she ever pay for it?
I must not have even...
It won't tell us that. It just says if it's expired.
Did you want to take her in?
Take her in.
So I know. I got nice pink ones here.
All pink tops.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? We no longer won $30 in this car.
So why did you
put it in my brassiere?
Policeman money.
Yeah.
I have it out for the ice cream.
Oh.
Here.
I wasn't giving him money. That's the $30 you handed me, Mary.
This is only 20.
There's a 30 and a 10, or 20 and a 10.
Unfold it, Mary.
I did.
Mary, there's a 10 right there, Mary.
Well, keep it for the ice cream.
No, I think...
We might not be getting ice cream.
I don't give a rip. We're having ice cream.
Ice cream's only for good boys and girls that pay for their registration.
Honest to God, I don't believe this. And I don't pay attention to it, you know?
Well, you know, I tell you, it was one of them things that...
When was it due? 23.
June
5th. Yeah, but what month?
June 5th of 23. Yeah, so it's about a year
over
here. Here we go.
Here's the insurance.
We got that. That's actually...
Up to date.
Give that back to you. Is is Cecilia? Is your address still up to date and everything in the DOT?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I've only been here 60 years.
Fair enough. I don't have a printer in my car. I got an old car. Unfortunately, I got to send you a ticket in the mail, okay?
Okay.
If you wish to fight it, it'll be in the top left of it, okay?
Oh, we're fighting.
So listen, if I get it when I get back and I get that thing, and how much is the ticket?
I think it's like $98.
Oh, that's
she just lost that at the casino, so I don't.
And then I gotta go back and win it all.
You gotta turn around, guys.
No, I'll get it from Charlie.
Yeah, all right, that's how it's gonna go.
Questions for me at all.
No, we're all good.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Seriously, thank you.
Thank you.
Take her easy, guys. Enjoy Culver's.
Hey. I still would like to see you use those pink cups.
But,
Mary, jeez. That's sexual harassment of an officer. All right. Sorry. We're going to go before we get more.
The fuzz wore off on it. Take her easy, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for the big ticket.
Nothing like
$100.
Mary.
A lot. We lost more money.
You know,
yeah,
I
Mary wanted them to take her away.
Mary, I think you should pay it because you won.
I think you should pay it too, Mary.
I'll end up paying it regardless.
Well, here I didn't think we had a podcast, and now Mary tries to sexually harass an officer, tries to bribe him with sex.
Oh, here's Connor's.
Big one now.
Grandma tries to bribe him with money.
I didn't know. I wasn't doing that. I just
did
it in my hand.
Money, Sue?
good to me.
Oh, so now someone's not buckled, you know.
I'm not.
At least the insurance is up to date.
Yeah.
All right, here we go to Culver's.
Well, that's
a big old wet blanket, big $98 wet blanket.
This is going to be expensive.
What can I make fresh for you today?
What's that?
What can I make fresh for you today?
Oh, make fresh. Nice. We're looking for some ice cream. What do you guys want?
Ice cream cone. I want an ice cream cone.
Could I get one ice cream cone?
No, more than that.
Of what flavors? We got vanilla, chocolate in the same cone.
Twist.
And then a
mint
cookie.
I'll have the twist.
She'll have the twist.
And can I get a sugar cone?
We have a cake cone and waffle cone.
Yeah, the waffle cone.
The waffle cone, gotcha.
Twist and a waffle cone.
All the same.
Two of them.
Make it easy.
So two twists and a waffle cone.
What's a twist?
Mary?
It's vanilla and chocolate mixed.
Oh, I'll have the twist.
So three twists and a waffle cone. Do you guys have the walleye, right? No, you don't.
We do not have walleye.
Okay. And then could I do a chocolate malt or a shake, chocolate shake? Here, that's for the ticket.
Charlie, just take
it. Oh, Charlie, really?
Yeah, I don't.
So give that back. I will pay for the
ticket. Shut up, Mary.
No, he's paying for the ticket. He wants to pay for the ticket. Let him.
Yeah, see? That's how you handle that, Mary. Hello.
Charlie?
Yeah?
All right, that's going to be $17.89.
There you go.
How'd she know your name was
it?
Do we have seniors in the car?
Yeah. Do we get a discount for them or no?
Charlie included.
All
three
right.
Three of them.
We just.
I wish I could, but I can only do it once.
Oh, only once. We just got a ticket from the local expired license. Do you guys have an expired tags discount? All right. That's all right.
But the senior discount helps.
That's good. That's
a cluster should make you guys feel better after getting
it. Yeah, that's true.
Charlie, thank you. Are you sure you want to pay for that ticket?
Yeah. Thank you.
You should be bringing the cones out.
All right.
You want some napkins?
You guys want napkins?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll need napkins. Thank you very much. There you go. There's the napkins. All right. Well, here we go. Yes, yep. Okay. There's one. Thank you. There you go, Lois. Did you want dinner from me? You want a burger here, Lois? I can order one right now. Okay, thank you.
Did you get any napkins?
We got napkins. Thank you so much.
Can I have some more napkins?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He doesn't have one. Lois, I appreciate it.
Mary?
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good one. Thank you. Mary,
thank you.
There you go. All right, well, what lessons did we learn here, guys?
Not to speed.
Don't speed. I wasn't speeding, Lois.
No, but the lesson we learned is to make sure that your license plate is up to date.
Don't blame your grandma for being pulled over.
Do you remember when Grandma said that it was up to date, and he was like, actually, I ran the place. The sticker did not fall off. It wasn't a defective stick on the sticker. I got pulled over for having expired plates also this year, and I had a gun in the car.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
And the police officer took my picture, and he let me off with nothing.
You're kidding.
Not even a warning.
Why didn't this guy take your picture?
Because you told him to put the pink cuffs on? You pervert.
No. I told him to put the pink cuffs on too. I told him to take you away, and he said, I do have pink handcuffs.
He does have pink handcuffs. Mm-hmm.
And then you asked him to use the handcuffs before he left. Remember that?
On Sue. Mm-hmm. Not on himself.
I can rewind the tape there.
Did we tape that?
It was all on tape.
Oh, good.
That's taped.
Mm-hmm. $100.
Well, I'll tell you this much. That I will now be aware every year whether or not I get that in the mail.
Culver's is good.
We'll take my car next time.
Yeah, somebody better offer to take a car. It's me.
It's quite the Baron's move, though.
So, Charlie, you got picked up, too?
Yeah, I got pulled over.
Did you tell him your thing fell off, too?
I said, oh, it's not? I played dumb. I really didn't know. I don't pay attention to that, you know?
Nor do I.
Oh, good stuff, guys. Well...
Charlie. Oh, I feel bad.
For what?
Because I spoiled the day by not having my car up to par.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, nobody cares. Victimless crime.
I'm so glad you weren't speeding.
Yeah, me too. Double the fun right there. Well, Portage is finest. Can't let sneak anything past that.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'm not going to Portage ever again.
We put that guy through the ringer. We tried to bribe him. Mary tried to handcuff him to her bed. That fella wasn't gonna budge.
I wasn't talking. Charlie, I asked if he could.
Yeah, it's all on tape, Mary. It's on this tape, and it's on his body cam.
He doesn't have a body cam.
He did. I was looking at it. Beautiful day, guys. Beautiful day.
It is.
It only cost Charlie $1,000 today.
You have an expensive grandma, Charlie.
Now we go to Los Angeles, where I was shooting a Target commercial with my buddy Miles Montplaisir, Penholderness, and Taylor Kalmus, the husbands of Target. And we did a little podcast in my hotel room. Here is episode 211.
We are here in Los Angeles, Penn and Taylor and Miles and I, because several years ago, Taylor had this idea to do Husbands of Target. And he called us all together. He called us all together to a Target parking lot.
And each one of you individually said what?
Each?
I don't know. Could work.
I will be honest.
I don't think I can be on record questions asked, like what each person said.
That's okay. That's a good question.
I think you said it was, you're like, yeah, that could be cool. You were on board. You're like, yeah, let's do that.
No, I was like, let's do that, but we're also going to do a music video.
Yeah.
Which got like 12
views. So if I go back. Yeah. I reached out to Penn, actually Miles too, both of them, months before they responded to me. Okay. And then your manager told you need to do collabs. He's like,
Larry, yep.
Yeah, and then you reached out to me.
You were my first collab. I'm weird about collabs. You guys are great.
You guys were each other's first collab. You guys were each other's first.
I was his first collab. Yeah. He wasn't my first.
I was.
Collab.
No,
he's been around the block.
Yeah, I was a collab virgin.
Just say
really.
Yeah, I was.
In the collab world, he might be the neighbor.
Well, I collab with my wife. Like that's like the way our channel works is.
Yeah, well, you can get outside of your wife.
Well, Taylor,
that's true.
Yeah,
it worked out great.
And then Miles, I reached out to Miles because he lives in Fargo. My wife is from Fargo, so I was up there all the time. And he did not respond. And then I did a video about Fargo that went viral. And then he slid into my DMs.
Oh, he was chasing
in
that clout.
In my defense, I had so many DMs.
All right, that's probably valid.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I ignored you.
No, yeah. I'm really bad at that portion of this business. Is responding.
What was your response, Charlie?
My response? Well, first of all, Taylor got in touch with me because he and Miles did something. And then Taylor called me and we had a nice conversation. I remember I was on I-41 coming down.
I was in my backyard.
Oshkosh. What? You were in your backyard?
I was in my backyard in Van Nuys.
I was going right over Lake Butamore. Mm-hmm. And we were talking.
I was facing south.
That's all the time we have for now, folks. But if you want to listen to my full conversation, check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Russian President Vladimir Putin apologizing to Azerbaijan's leader, but stopping short of taking responsibility for the deadly crash of an Azerbaijan Airlines plane in Kazakhstan. Israeli troops storming one of Gaza's last hospitals Friday, forcing staff and patients out, says Gaza's health ministry. The Israeli military accusing Hamas of using the hospital for cover. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has ordered 14 correctional officers be fired after an inmate was beaten to death at a correctional facility near Syracuse. Former NYPD Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry accused of sexual misconduct. Lieutenant Katisha Ebbs accusing Madry of sexually assaulting her in exchange for $200,000 in overtime. But Madry's attorney, Lambros Lambro, says
Lieutenant Epps had a consensual adult relationship, albeit for a short time, with Jeff.
Lambrou says his client never harmed anybody. This is ABC News.